today on Real Radio.
If we don't get esteem from people, we'll create our own, because that's how the human psyche works. Listen, you want to pursue self-esteem, you're never going to be satisfied or content. But do you want to be completely satisfied and content? God esteem. What does that mean? Know what the Bible says. Know what God says about you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Your God Calling, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. I'm David J. Thanks for taking the time to spend some time with us here in God's Word. God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to Him so that He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 5, we looked at how Isaiah delivers a poem to the people of Israel in the form of a parable. The poem is about a vineyard which represents the nation of Israel, and God made this vineyard beautiful, plentiful, and safe. The Lord had expectations of a good harvest, but when the people rebelled against Him, God sent 6 judgments upon them. And when they still refuse to repent, well, they'll be captured and carried away by their enemies. Now in chapter 6, we'll see how we're all called to be saints and how much our calling and commission from God really matters. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that it's God that qualifies us for our calling so that He gets the glory. Otherwise, we'd become a servant of ourselves. And you know, God will do the impossible through us, and He'll always lead us to triumph through His Son, Jesus Christ. And now, continuing his lesson called Your God Calling, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
My friend, he's a really, really good salesman down there at the car lot. I think you'd make a great evangelist. No, that's not how it works. Well, I've got a really big vocabulary. Do you think I should be a pastor? No, that's not how it works. God's calling upon your life. I hope you're all sitting down because this is going to come as a shock to you. God's calling upon your life will cause you to, let me think for a moment, freak out. When God begins to cook something on your heart, you're going to have a thought and it's going to be like, hey, you know what? Somebody should do something about that situation. You'll be driving down the street. You'll be riding a bike. You'll be like, you know, whatever, and this thought will go across your mind. There's people dying in Iraq at the hands of terrorists. Somebody should do something about that. And then you're going to pause for a moment, and you're going to hear Him say to you, I just gave you a thought across your mind. You're the one. And the first thought you might say, me? And you'll be overwhelmed. Notice, those of you who are involved in ministry that's called of God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your first word is what the first word was from Moses. Hi, God, you're amazing. Awesome how you shook that mountain and all that stuff. Part of the Red Sea. I'm in full agreement up until right now. You're asking me to speak to the Pharaoh? Not going to do it. Jeremiah gets called by God. What does Jeremiah say? I'm only a kid. No one's going to listen to me. There's a long list of God's people who are called by God, and it's so impossible. What do He ask you to do? You want to know why? Barney Fife? So God gets all the glory. Pee Wee Herman? When God says, and He begins to cook it on you, you begin thinking and thinking and thinking, and then you start praying about it. And you'll be somewhere, and whatever it might be a manifestation or one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the way of giving, for example. Let's say in your life you think first of all, I don't have anything to give, and second of all, if I get anything, I'm going to keep it. And God says, I want you to give that last five bucks in your pocket. I want you to give it to that guy right there. And you know what's amazing? You're going to find yourself going like this. Here, dude, take this $5 in Jesus' name. If I had more, I'd give it to you, man. Completely not you. Why? Because it's impossible. God's calling upon your life will be impossible. So he gets all the glory. And when God uses people that way, other people might say, did you see how he gave that $5? Oh, he's just a champ. Look, I mean, just the way he moved to give the $5. What a nice guy. People may say that, but the person given the $5 knows this one thing. I am a dope. They thought I would look nice given the $5. I know the truth. I'm nothing. When God uses you, listen, I'm sorry. Listen, when God uses you, you should be humble about it. Anybody walking around saying, don't you know who I am? I'm a servant of God. One thing you know for sure, they are not a servant of God. They're a servant of self. It will be impossible. Verse 5 says, when he saw all of this, what did he say? He said, woe is me. Oh, this is interesting. Do you remember chapter 5? Remember the 6 woes he gave to the nation? Woe to those who take strong drink. Woe to those who pillage the poor. Remember that? Now he says, and that's interesting now, because remember, his ministry starts in this chapter. So chapter 6 precedes chapter 5. Now I get it. You could ask the question, what gave this guy the right to go tell the nation, woe to them? Right? Think about it. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's nothing because he is nothing. That's why he could say woe to a nation. Big difference, right? You can criticize people, but they might know you, and your criticism or your judgment or your critique falls on deaf ears. But if you're a broken person, and that broken person now is as a glove with God's hand inside, is used by God, people will sit up and take notice. Why? Because the vessel doesn't exist, so to speak. It's invisible. Now we understand his ministry a little bit. He was first brought to the place of, woe is me. This is impossible for me. For I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, sinful lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes, this is why. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I've seen God. And it changes his whole perspective. Now, I got to throw this in before you panic. You know, a lot of people today talk about self-esteem. You need more self-esteem. I don't believe that. I believe by nature, you and I are born with this tendency to, if we don't get esteem from people, we'll create our own. Because that's how the human psyche works. Listen, you want to pursue self-esteem, you're never going to be satisfied or content. But do you want to be completely satisfied and content? God esteem. What does that mean? Know what the Bible says. Know what God says about you. Because you know what? Let's be honest. Some people will say today, what is today? Wednesday. They'll say, you're so nice. And you'll go, thanks. And then Tuesday next week, they'll say, you make me sick. You know what I'm talking about? Did you know God will never do that to you? Never. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Watch. You put it's past tense. You said in the past tense. I have loved you. It means he doesn't love us anymore. I'm not done quoting the verse. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn you. It's all in the continuum. It's eternal. I love you. Always have loved you. Reaching out to you because I love you. That's what God says to you. And he's not going to wake up tomorrow with a different mind. Isn't that neat? He can't change his mind. The Bible says it's impossible for him to change his mind. Aren't we glad of that? Charles Spurgeon said, I'm so grateful that God called me before the foundations of the world were ever laid, because he said he wouldn't have called me after I was born. Now, of course, he's kidding, but it's kind of cute, you know? It's impossible for us to do what God calls us to do. But God does the impossible through us, and he does it with Isaiah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, listen to what the Bible there says. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Boy, there's a verse to memorize right there, huh? Just the opening end of that verse, 14. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere. What does that mean? That those who are saved, we who are Christians, God causes us to affect atmospheres. Isn't that kind of neat? Think about it. You know, everywhere you go, you affect people. Did you know that? By the way, no matter who you are, you can be saved or not saved, Christian or not Christian. Wherever you go, you affect the atmosphere around you. Do you know that? It's true. People who are just bitter, rotten, ugly, mean people, they just stink up the atmosphere, huh? And nobody wants to be around them, right? There's people that they come, they walk into the room, and morally, ethically, you want to take a shower after they leave. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, man. There's people, for example, I mean, he talks about diffusing a fragrance. Have you noticed where the person's not even there and it's like, what's that smell? Was Bob here? Old Spice. I smell Old Spice. Was Bob here? You know what I'm talking about? That kind of thing? Where the smell of their after presence remains. My daughter and her husband live in Chino Hills, and I mean, they have a house on one side and Chino Hills on the other side. And this week, we pulled up to the house, and my son-in-law is hosing off the driveway, and there's blood on the driveway. I mean, not a little. And I'm thinking, this is interesting. And I look, and there seriously had to be 11, 12, 15 or more vultures all around their home. In their trees, on the ground. You know how big those things are? Those things are terrifying. I mean, they're ugly. I don't think they're going to chase you down and kill you or anything, but they're scared. Look like they could. But a cow had died just about 100 yards or less from their house in the hills right there. And so the vultures were eating the cow. And they looked this up online and they figured out, because it said right there that what they did was an act of self-defense. What they did was they determined, well, here's a dead cow and that house is too close to the dead cow. So they came over to my daughter's house and they began to bombard the house I didn't know this, look it up. It's a shocker, I didn't know this. But vultures throw up the meat and blood of the thing that they've been eating as a defense mechanism to ward off enemies. And so there was blood splattered and their poor dog Wilson got hit. I mean, the bird just went boom, just and nailed him. Can you imagine? I'm not kidding. You can look this up. And the stink of death. And Paul says, listen, as believers, wherever we go, when we walk into a room, we are to emit Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because only then does he say in Corinthians that when people reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very fragrance that was beautiful in the room, that fragrance to them becomes the smell of death because of rejection. Isn't that interesting? What should have been life? Well, look, he says it. Right here in 2 Corinthians 2, where he says in verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And here's the punchline to this verse, and who is sufficient for these things? Isn't this an awesome statement by the apostle? You say, what does that mean? Paul says, we're just humans. Listen up, everybody. We're just mere humans, but we've been saved. And we've been called by God to give testimony of the doctrines of God, the Bible. We're to give the Bible. Don't give the world us. That's not going to help them. We're to give the world God. And to those who receive, oh, I have life. Do you remember when we were not saved, we thought we could see? And then once we got saved and we could see, we realized that we were lost, we couldn't see a thing. Before we were Christians, we would tell people how to live their lives. And now that we're Christians, it's like, God, tell me, please, how to live my life now. Isn't it amazing? But the moment somebody rejects the gospel for the last time, I say for the last time, because, you know, you can witness to people over and over again, but at some point in time, God gives up. God says, I know they're not going to turn, and shuts the door. Imagine at that moment, the very gospel that could have rescued them becomes the gospel that brings to them the smell of death. Who determined that? God or that person? The person did. As we shall see. It's an amazing thing, though, you guys, when he says, woe is me. And Paul echoes that, who is sufficient for these things? The answer is nobody. My dear Christian brother and sister, we handle the word of God. Before there was ever a sun, a Milky Way, Jupiter, angels, creation, there was this. And God has called us to tell others about this. How do you qualify for this? I've got my degree from Harvard. Please. I've got my degree from Liberty or Biola or... not going to help. You cannot be qualified. You must be called. Now, you can educate and strengthen the calling. Absolutely. That's great. But Paul said it. Who's sufficient for this? Who has got the stuff to traffic among the living and the dead? That's us. Do I hear bells? Time's up. Oh, thanks. She just said, no, the bells are in your head. Keep going. Great. We still have to get to that with the God calling comes the equipping. We need to get to with the God calling comes the commissioning. We need to get to with the God calling comes your purpose. And we need to get to the with the God calling comes your burden. So we'll see you next Wednesday night. Father, we love you, God. Who are we to speak about eternal things? But we have your word, the Bible, without error, perfect. It's so great, God, that we get to be here tonight because the word, we don't have to defend your Bible. This is the best part. We don't have to defend your Bible. It defends itself. You don't need us. We don't work out and do squats and take vitamins so that we can preach the gospel. That's your Spirit's business. We can't invest in Wall Street so things can be good on the golden streets. Nope. We as mere little humans, fallen, sinful, but now redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God, it is amazing for us to go from this place tonight to be reminded, now that I'm a Christian, I'm called by God. And this is when all the excitement begins. As we will be infused in our lives before friends and family and coworkers and neighbors. And ever so slowly sometimes, at times abruptly, no doubt, we will be given the opportunity to bear witness of Jesus. Maybe conversationally, maybe in passing, maybe directly, we would turn to someone and say, you know, I've become a Christian. Or this is what God has been doing in my life lately. And Lord, in all these things, we pray, Lord, that you would take us in this world and use us more than you ever have. Father, I know I'm not praying this by myself. I know there's a host of people agreeing with me that whatever you've done thus far in our lives, we're so grateful for. But may it be nothing compared to what you're about to do. We're still breathing. We're still able to ask, will you do radical things, Lord, through us? You who are strong and I who am weak, will you be my strength? Lord, I who cannot speak, but you who can, will you through me? Lord, I who cannot do anything right, will you do what's right through me? Through us? Woe is me. But we've seen your glory, God. Church, let's stand right now as we sing our song of worship to him. And my friend, tonight, I hope that you've been provoked tonight, maybe, perhaps. I know the message was abbreviated, but maybe you heard enough tonight to be provoked to a sense of jealousy that how is it these people are enjoying God and are excited about him? Oh, my friend, listen, you need to come to him tonight. You need to say, Jesus, I want you tonight. Be my Lord, be my Savior. You ask him tonight. He's faithful.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Your God Calling, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today, and there is a freedom in knowing that we don't have to earn our calling. Jesus has already paid the price. All we have to do is show up. Your God Calling, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of Jesus Christ over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Pastor Jack says we're all called by God for a purpose, but it's so important to start with the basics. That's why Pastor Jack has a selection on our website called Real Life Basics. The Real Life Basics videos are full of information about understanding the Bible, what it means to be a Christian, and how to grow in your relationship with God. Pastor Jack also walks us through questions about the Holy Spirit, about prayer, confession, and exercising your gifts, and a whole lot more. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or even better, download the free Real Life mobile app onto your smartphone or tablet for immediate on-the-go mobile access. You know, a lot of you have visited our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you may not know that Pastor Jack also has the Real Life app available for your mobile device and on the Apple TV for fourth generation and newer. Download the free app, and you'll have immediate on-the-go access to Pastor Jack's Real Life TV programs, daily radio broadcasts, that's us by the way, videos of his weekly teachings and devotionals, and specific tools and resources to help you know God with a deeper understanding. You can also connect with Pastor Jack through Facebook, YouTube, and so much more. Our hope is that all the resources that are available on the Real Life app will be an incredible asset to your Christian life. You can download the Real Life app at the App Store, on the Android Market, and now on Windows Phone Store. And of course, our website also provides a way you can download the app when you go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.